good to be here. It's always good to be here. I've been coming down here for many, many years, and it's always great for a preacher to be able to go to a place where people hear and listen and actually are engaged. And you guys are always engaged in what I have to say, and that's very humbling to me. The sermon I want to preach today has been on my mind for the last few weeks when I was thinking about what to preach before you. And it's a sermon I preached 11 years ago in a gospel meeting in Marcella Falls, Tennessee. I've never preached in any other place. And it has to do, and since I've goofed up Dennis and everything, I'm going to see if I can, oh boy. All right, we're not going to worry about the computer. I'm unplugging it. I'm sorry, Dennis, and I want you to understand, I love when you lead singing. Every time, it's very encouraging. I want to read a song to you that's the really behind this sermon. It's called "Is My Name Written There?" It's a song that's not in hardly any of the new songbooks. It's not in yours. It's not in ours. I think Brother Ben probably remembers it. It's in some of the older songbooks. I just want to read the words to this song. I was going to read it at the end, but it's been such a distraction, I want to read it now. Lord, I care not for riches, neither silver nor gold. I would make sure of heaven, I would enter the fold. In the book of thy kingdom, with its pages so fair, tell me, Jesus, my Savior, is my name written there? Lord, my sins, they are many, like the sands of the sea. But thy blood, O my Savior, is sufficient for me. For thy promise is written in bright letters that glow. Though your sins be as scarlet, I will make them like snow. Oh, that beautiful city with its mansions of light, with its glorified beings in pure garments of white, where no evil thing cometh to despoil what is fair, where the angels are watching. Yes, my name's written there. Is my name written there on the page white and fair? In the book of thy kingdom, is my name written there? It's a beautiful song, and if I had the wisdom of Solomon, I would have made copies and we would have sang it. But I want you to think about that thought. Is my name written there? You know, names are important. They give us an identity. They give us rights and privileges in our country. You know, you need your name for your Social Security and your driver's license and being on a waiting list. And they connect people to who we are and what we're all about. Names are really important. Sometimes when people have a name and they develop a bad reputation, they want to change their name. And many times they mar that name as well. You know, the idea of getting a fresh start sometimes, and sometimes it works and sometimes it's good. There's exceptions, see. We just studied about the Apostle Paul. He had a great study on the Apostle Paul. Well, his name was Saul, but his name was changed. And his reputation was changed. And Johnny mentioned it very well. He did a 180. He did a total about face for the Lord. Then we have nicknames. We have Barnabas is called the son of encouragement. You can kind of picture why when you read about Barnabas. Remember, he was the one that took Saul to meet the apostles and the brethren the first time. And he is a true friend to Saul. We have these nicknames that come around, and sometimes these nicknames tell a lot about our character. When I lived in New York, everybody had a nickname. I can't remember anybody growing up in New York that was called by their given name routinely. It just wasn't done. In high school, my name was Catman. And on my college basketball team, I was named Snapper. When I started working on a boat for a couple years with a friend of mine that was my partner, I was called Cap because we called each other Cap because we're captains of our boat. been calling each other Cap for 36 years. You get these nicknames and they kind of stick with you. Daniel, most of you know my son Daniel. He played on a basketball team at the time where there was a famous D. Wade playing in the NBA, and his name was D. Wade. They still call him D. Wade, his friends from high school. Now he's playing on a basketball team with some guys down at where church where he at. We all call him D. Wade. We all call him that. And then there's sometimes you have names that are silly. I had a classmate in high school. His name was Pete Moss. Now, that's pretty hard to leave that one alone. We called him Little Petey Moss, but he wasn't little. He was big. And then you guys all know Larry Payton. He comes. Larry's little. And we call him Big Larry. And then Larry Jeter, who is big at worship, we call him Little Larry. You know, you do silly things like that. When I worked at the lab, Oak Ridge National Lab, a long time ago, there was a carpenter. He's a really great carpenter, a really nice guy. He, 300-pound carpenter that everybody called Tiny. You know, it's just, that's just what you get these names like that. And then sometimes you get a nickname that you'd rather not have. Doubting Thomas, for example. With all these things, we see the importance of names. And whether you write your name, endorse a check, you sign a contract, you sign a letter, or it's an association with a spouse. It's really cool that when Beth and I got married, she took my name. 33 years down the road, I'm really proud that she took my name. It's an honor. Sometimes it's important to be on a list, too. Sometimes it's important to sometimes I've had to go to high security installations. And if you're not on the list, you don't get in. You have to be an approved list. Whatever the requirements, you have to meet those requirements to get on that list, or you won't get in. When God writes our name, it has everlasting consequences. And we want to be on God's list. We all want to be on his list. If we're not, we're not going to make it to heaven. We're not going to live for eternity with God. Let's study some facts about the Bible that we learn about names and lists and books. Let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The first thing we want to notice, God wants to write our name in the book of life and does not want to blot it out. He wants to write our name, and he doesn't want to blot it out. 2 Peter chapter 3, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is longsuffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Revelation chapter 3, and verse 5. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. What a hopeful and encouraging verse. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Names that aren't written in the book of life are the enemies of God. Let's turn back to Psalm 69. Psalm 69 and verse 28. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living and not be written with the righteous. Let's turn back to Revelation. Chapter 13, verse 8. All who dwell on the earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And we'll go over to Revelation chapter 17, verse 8. The beast that you saw was and is not and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition. And those who dwell in the earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they see the beast that was and is not and yet is. Names not written in the book of life are enemies of God. God keeps a very accurate record. If you just turn over to Revelation chapter 20, we can see that. He keeps accurate record of what each one of us does or doesn't do. And if our names aren't in that book, we're going to be lost eternally. Revelation 20, starting in verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. If our names are written in the book of life, God will deliver us eternally. Here's an interesting verse in Daniel chapter 12. The book of Daniel chapter 12. And this is in a prophecy. A very powerful prophecy. Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. At that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there should be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation. Even to that time, and at that time, your people shall be delivered. Everyone who is found written in the book. Written in the book. Back to Revelation. Revelation chapter 21, verse 27. And here is the scene of the New Jerusalem. And notice verse 27. But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. Is my name written there? There's some examples of people whose names were written in this book. Let's look at a couple of those. Luke chapter 10. Starting in verse 17. This is after the 70 come back. Jesus sends out 70, two by two, to spread the new good news. Verse 17, then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notice verse 20. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Your names are written in heaven. Philippians chapter 4. Starting in verse 2. I implore Euodia and I implore Syntyche to be the same mind, be of the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers, notice this, whose names are written in the book of life. That's what we want our name to be, is written in the book of life. How do we get our names written there? Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. You know, a lot of times man puts little breaks in our Bibles. This is a bad break. Mine's got a break here because the connection to the next few verses is very clear what Jesus is teaching. Let's keep reading. Verse 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. We need to hear and do. We need to hear and obey. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Starting in verse 21. And we're answering the question, how do we get our name on the Lord's list? How do we get our names written in this book? Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. This is James chapter 1, verse 21. And receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 5. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. And those few verses are a challenge right there, aren't they? You know, we always need to be growing. Let's keep reading. Verse 8. For if these things are yours and abound, you will never be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. These are the things that we need to be doing to get our names written in God's book. 1 John chapter 5, starting in verse 1. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? What we need to do is we need to believe, and we need to embrace God's word, and then we need to obey it. We need to put it in practice in our lives. That's how we're written. Our names are written in that wonderful book. It's true that God writes our names in the book, but who's really responsible for our names getting there or getting taken out? You thought about that? Who's responsible? The scriptures answer that too. Way back in Exodus, chapter 32. And this is after the Israelites have been taken into, you know, Moses has been up on the mountain waiting for the commandments from God, and the Israelites raise up to play. And then Aaron makes these golden calves, and they start to bow down to them. Aaron even says, the golden calves, these are who delivered you from Egypt, and they rise up to play. And after this is after that incident, Let's just read what's recorded here. Exodus chapter 32, starting in verse 30. Now it came to pass on the next day that Moses said to the people, "You have committed a great sin. So now I will go up to the Lord. Perhaps I can make atonement for your sin." So Moses confronts the people on this. And then he says, "Maybe I can make an atonement for you, for your sins." Then Moses returned to the Lord and said, "Oh, these people have committed a great sin and have made for themselves a god of gold. Yet now, if you will forgive their sin, but if not, I pray." And notice what Moses says. "Blot me out of your book, which you have written." That's what we've been talking about in this sermon. He's willing to sacrifice his soul for the Israelites that sin. He's saying, "If you won't forgive them, please forgive them on my behalf and blot my name out of the book." Notice the next verse. "And the Lord said to Moses, whoever has sinned against me, I will blot him out of my book." You see, Moses couldn't do this. The people had to make things right. We have to walk with God. If we want our name to be written in his book, we need to obey him. And then we need to maintain that faithfulness, because we're the only ones that can have our name taken off. You see that? We all want to have our names written there. We all want to be in God's good graces, so to speak, now and for eternity. But we're responsible for that. It's a lot of responsibility. If Moses can't dictate who gets written or not, certainly I can't. It's up to me to walk with God, to be pleasing to him. Is my name written there? If you know your name's not written there right now, you can do something about that. You can take care of that problem right now. If you've never become a Christian, you can become one. There's a baptistry. I can hear it back here. It's ready to roll. We had a young man after services last week say he wanted to be baptized last week. We can take care of that. If you've never become a Christian, if you're willing to confess that Jesus is the Son of God, if you realize you have sinned and you feel sorry for that sin, and you're willing to turn away from those and turn toward God, submit your life to Jesus, and are willing to be baptized. How many people that we know that baptism is a stumbling block? You know? So many friends and neighbors, they let that be a stumbling block. And they say, "Well, it doesn't make any sense. You know, it doesn't make any sense to get in water to be washed of your sins." Well, number one, it doesn't matter if it makes any sense. It's what God commands us to do. But you know, way back in the Old Testament, there was a man who had leprosy, and he was told to dip 7 times in that dirty Jordan River. He comes down. He's a man of great authority, and he says, "Why do I have to come down and go into this dirty river when I could have went into my clean rivers?" And then he finally is reminded by a servant, "You know, if you were asked to do something big, wouldn't you do it to get rid of this leprosy?" And what he did, he obeyed. He dipped 7 times. And he had no leprosy anymore. Did it make logical sense? No. It's called obedience. You know, when the bronze serpent was held up with the people that were getting bit by the serpents, they were told to just look up there. Does that make any sense? No, but that's how they could be saved from that. Sometimes God asks us things that may not make sense to us. But you know what? I'll tell you what. When that young man came out of the waters of baptism last week, he was changed. He was changed for the better forever. And if you haven't done that, we can help you do that now. There's another verse I want to read. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Starting in verse 22. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of the sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. You can become a part of those registered in heaven. You know, a lot of things in this life we have to be registered for. We have to be on a list to do different things. None of that matters if we're not, our names aren't registered in heaven. None of that matters. Maybe you're a Christian who hasn't been walking like you ought to walk. And maybe there's a chance that your name has been blotted out. 1 John tells us all what to do in that situation. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Confess and repent. That's what we need to do when we're not walking with the Lord and we're a Christian. That's what we need to do so his blood can take care of our sins. If you're not walking like you should, now is the time to respond as well. Is my name written there? Is my name written there? Sometimes a song can just trigger some really good thoughts. And this is one of those songs that does that for me. I think I'm going to read it one more time. And then we'll invite anybody who's subject to the invitation to come forward while Dennis leads us. Let me just read this, the words one more time. Lord, I care not for riches, neither silver nor gold. I would make sure of heaven, I would enter the fold. In the book of thy kingdom, with its pages so fair, tell me, Jesus, my Savior, is my name written there? Lord, my sins, they are many like the sands of the sea, but thy blood, O my Savior, is sufficient for me. For thy promise is written in bright letters that glow. Though your sins be as scarlet, I will make them like snow. Oh, that beautiful city with its mansions of light, with its glorified beings in pure garments of white, where no evil thing cometh to despoil what is fair, where the angels are watching. Yes, my name's written there. Is my name written there on the page white and fair? In the book of thy kingdom, is my name written there? If we can help you now, please come forward and we stand and sing.